This, except for a few more verses, is the last section of chapter 6. It's the reaction. Many of the disciples of Jesus who were listening said, "This saying is hard, and who can accept it?" Now, what saying is that? There were many sayings that Jesus just made, right? But they're all centered on sharing in his reality physically. Now, it's a sign of a spiritual person that they understand what matter really is in the eyes of God. And it's a sign of an unspiritual person that they're afraid of matter and they don't like it. And it's a shock to think that God would become man, that God would have a body. I mean, there's also a part of us that doesn't like that because it brings God too close. We like a little bit of distance between ourselves and God in case we want to sin. You know, if he's too close, well, there's a famous example of that, of course, in the prophecy of Isaiah, when Isaiah challenges Achaz, the king, to ask for a sign, and he said, "Oh, I wouldn't tempt the Lord." What he means is, I don't want God that real to me, because then I have to believe him. I have to trust him. These invaders are coming down from the north, and I have to trust him that he's going to take care of him. I know that's too close, because then I have to change. And so, take that one step further. Not only does God become man, but he takes his flesh and blood and feeds us on it. That's too much. And that's where many of the disciples, this saying is hard. Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring, notice murmuring. Remember that word comes several times during the Jews murmur, which is exactly what they did in the desert. It's the same word too. Now the disciples, or now the ex-disciples, are murmuring. In other words, we're called to faith. We're called to believe Jesus. And if it's uncomfortable, we pray for help. I think it's why we take, the Eucharist for such granted. We have the concept. For most of us, we grew up with it, that God became man. And we're not shocked at all by that. Worse, we're not in awe that God would become man. That he would walk around over in Israel, preach and teach, encourage, get people ready to understand the meaning of his death and resurrection. And finally, in this gesture that we have here, recorded in chapter 6 of John, and in the Synoptics too, he multiplies loaves in the desert, letting everybody know, "I'm the new Moses," and prophesying how he is going to take care of his people until he comes back. How? On his body and blood. Now we should pray, really, that our faith become alive. This is surely the heart of what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that it gets alive. The saints who let this happen to them walked around in awe. Awe at God's plan, God's mercy, the wonder of it. Do you think we have a right to spend eternity with God? We don't have a right. It's a gift. And it's not just a gift like to Adam. It's a gift repurchased for us by the very blood of the Son of God. Of course, these people, they get it, what he's saying. My flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed, but it's too much for them. Too much for them. So Jesus challenges them. Now these are the disciples remembering. What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? That's the Son of Man, is the one who comes down from heaven. As we watch this word, this phrase, this title throughout the gospel, you see, the Son of Man, we read in chapter 2, it's Bethel. He's the house of God. The angels ascend and descend on him. He promised that. Other places, he's here. Do you understand? Is it you're having trouble grasping how you can eat my flesh and drink my blood? Well, I'll tell you. It's going to be divinized. When I rise from the dead, it will be divinized. Does that help? See, that's what it means that the Son of Man goes back where he was before. It's my flesh, is my blood is divinized. It takes on qualities that you'll never understand, though when you see me again in heaven, you'll have a better idea. God has so taken over that humanity that it's God's humanity. And after having offered it on the altar of the cross, it's consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit and goes up to God as a holocaust. It's totally consumed. It's totally transformed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what the resurrection is. Oh, I got it now. He's totally spiritualized. No, no, no. He says, here, touch me. Look, this is my wound. You see who I am? I have never renounced being human with you. I'm proud of being human. Are you? Isn't that beautiful? It's too much. No. You see. So what we, if you see the Son of Man ascending where he was before, if you grasp the divinization of my whole humanity and yours, we are promised over and over again in the New Testament that our bodies will be like his, transformed into glory. Irenaeus says this, Irenaeus was such a man. He said, you know, if someone receives this body and blood of Jesus Christ and doesn't turn from him, it's impossible that his body would stay in the ground. He's been touched by the divine body of Jesus Christ. It's impossible that it would stay corrupt. If this body has received the body and blood of Jesus Christ and the person doesn't turn from him, it's impossible. Well, this is tough, huh? It is the spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. I thought you just said you were going to give us your flesh. Yes. The flesh without the spirit is of no avail. The flesh permeated by the Spirit, by the fire that transforms me on the cross, by the faith you have in your own soul. You see, that is of avail. The words I have spoken to you, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So take them in. The church always celebrates the liturgy of the word before we celebrate the liturgy of the sacrament here, right? Why? Because this word we have to eat before we understand and are ready to eat his body and blood. It's to prepare us. And of course, we're so fortunate right now because he's teaching us about the Eucharist. spirit gives life, the flesh is of no avail unless it's transformed by the spirit. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Grasp these words. Let your whole being be changed by this truth. Get out of your rut. The only thing on your mind is what's going on in the politics, what's going on here, what's going on there. Can we afford the new car? Whatever, you know. Those are all real concerns. But that does not give life. I've come among you to give you a life and a vision and a capacity to share it. But there are some of you who do not believe, who don't take it in. You see, it's like, I don't know why this comes to me, but you know, ducks have a lot of oil on their feathers, so they can swim around, the water never gets to them. We've got oil on our feathers. You know, here's the word of God, the flesh and blood of Christ every day, and it bounces off us. And the Lord is so kind, he'll keep at it. Pretty soon, a little will penetrate. You know, Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. So he said, for this reason, I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to me by my Father, granted to him by my Father. Doesn't it make you want to say, Father, Father, please give me this faith? I'll die without it. If I can't come to Jesus without you, please draw me to your Son. I'll die without that. I won't even know why I'm alive without that. Please draw me to your Son. I can't get there without you. Remember how this whole discourse started? This is the work of God, that you believe. That's the work God works in you. As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer walked with them. Jesus then said to the 12, do you also want to leave? Simon Peter, this is the confession of Peter as John records it. It's not the same as the synoptics. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know. Belief gives rise to knowledge. Real belief, yielding to the truth, is access to the truth. We have come to believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. You are the one sent by God. You're the one sent by the Father. God bless Peter. He makes tons of mistakes, but he's so faithful to the truth. And in the name of the disciples, because he's their leader, he speaks up. You have the words of eternal life. And so, when we take the words that you said at the Last Supper and repeat them, by your mercy, they have power. This is my body. This is my blood. That's the end of this powerful, powerful discourse. And the church always has it here during Easter season as we meditate and try to grasp the wonder of the sacraments and how Jesus has taken the whole Jewish liturgical tradition given to them by the Father and brought it into himself and transformed it. How do we stay alert? You know, today I've been talking about it, probably too long, but talking about it, everybody's alert. Pay attention. I hope when you come to receive the Eucharist, what about tomorrow? What about Tuesday? How are we going to stay alert? Pray. Pray. Get the saints. Get the angels. Invite your guardian angel to be here at Mass with you. He'll have to be, he's your guardian angel. But invite him to come and help you. So that when we are transformed, we can do something about this world. Nobody believes. And of course, in our dear culture, you know, belief is your own private affair. Except if you believe, you go to heaven, and if you don't, you go to hell. That's not very private. And we are anointed, baptized, we given the Eucharist. Why? Because this world has been entrusted to our care, not to the European common market, but to us. This world is to all the saints, the ones who spent their life in a monastery, convent. What were they doing? They were praying, interceding for this world. If you receive the Eucharist and let us have his way with you, you will go crazy with love for this world and care about it. My last remark, next to last. Everybody's listening to the news day and night. Stop that. You know what it's like? It's like trying to get a thrill out of watching a horror movie. I got to get scared. I got to find out what's... No, you don't. You know, once a day for 10 minutes, you get the drift. You don't need the rest. It's just a little charge. And now you're all scared. Now you know it. You're going to stop it? No. What about those who don't even have faith? Who are scared to death day and night? I mean, Pepsi-Cola, whoever, you know, sponsors these programs, they love it. They love it. You know, this is like a super Frankenstein movie, except it's real. No, Jesus has the words of eternal life. Let his blessed body and blood change us, so that we can care for this poor world, calm the fears, give people a meaning for life. That's the fruit of the Eucharist.